It is April 14th, 2024. It's 10:39 a.m. So yesterday, we ending up doing our 30-day for my mom's passing at the cemetery. After that, we ended up going for lunch. We ended up going for lunch at Seafood City. If you guys don't know what Seafood City is, it's a Filipino grocery store chain actually across North America. They actually started in L.A., I believe. I've been to the one in L.A. several times, but they finally opened one here for the past almost 8 years now, 10 years now. So they have one in Mississauga, they one in Scarborough. So we went to the one in Scarborough. If you don't know where Mississauga and Scarborough is, it's a suburbs of Toronto. Mississauga is in our town outside downtown Toronto. It's between Toronto and Niagara Falls, if you guys want to know where that, if you want to see that in the map. Scarborough is actually the west side of downtown Toronto, still part of greater part of Toronto itself. So we went to the one in Scarborough. My sister hasn't been to Seafood City in her entire life. She knows about it, but she's never been. So we ended up going there as a family just to do something different. Typically, if you do those kind of things, we go to restaurants or anything like that. But we decided to do something different and go to Seafood City. So it was great because we ended up grabbing whatever we want to grab food-wise. We have like pork belly. They have like traditional Filipino food, especially pork belly. I love pork belly. So we ending up grabbing a few items that we made and ending up doing a family style dinner meals table wise. So we found a 10 person table, so we ended up sitting there and eating there, and we ended up staying there for a while, just eating and talking and just catching up and all that good stuff. It was nice. It was really nice. And it's kind of funny though, because the wife, we ending up getting a dessert called Halo Halo. It's a mixture with shaved ice, beans, tapioca, ice cream, you name it, everything is in there. So you end up mixing it with ice cream as well too. So it just becomes a milkshake, it's a Filipino style milkshake. I think that's the best way to describe it. And she ended up eating that by herself, and it's kind of funny because when we got home, she ending up having a massive sugar crash. So by the time we left, dropped off my dad and my sister at their place, and like driving back, the wife ended up just crashing in the car, and by the time we got home, she just slept because she was like, no sugar, no sugar, sugar. Then she ended up getting a massive sugar rush. Then after that, when we were driving back, her body just crashed. And yeah, so that's kind of funny because it happened to me just before Christmas. I ended up getting a very sweet drink in Starbucks, and when I got home, my body just crashed because of the sugar. So yeah, and her she ended up crashing with the sugar itself. It's kind of funny, but yeah, no, that's what I ended up doing yesterday. Nothing fancy. I decided not to do any log that day because it was just a family thing, and I just want to go home and just relax and not think about just relax and just enjoy the evening and the afternoon and the evening with the wifey. So one thing that I forgot to mention, that for the past few weeks now, well, not few weeks, few days, we ending up watching Attorney Woo. It's a Korean drama show, and it's on Netflix. If you guys haven't seen it yet, definitely watch it. There is a subtitle version and there's this overdub version. The subtitle version and the overdub version is exactly the same thing. You can actually, but I definitely recommend I definitely recommend you watch it with subtitles, and after that, watch it again with overdub, just to confirm that what you actually read is actually a very, very good show. This is the third time we're watching the series again, over again. But this time, I've been recommended by my sister and my cousin to watch it with subtitles. Don't watch an overdub because the facial impression does not translate very well to English when you're listening to it. If you read it, the subtitle, the facial expression, the way they pronounce things actually makes more sense. So I definitely recommend you guys watching the show with subtitles, but you can get away using reading or watching it with overdubs. So that's the thing. And one thing I do want to stress out, if you're watching subtitle shows, if you're ending up, what I did is like Train to Busan. It's another Korean movie. It's a Korean movie. I ended up watching it with subtitles and the overdub. The reason why is I know some, like I mentioned before, some overdub and subtitles don't match very well. So I ended up watching it just to... because it's fast action, so the subtitles going really fast, so ending up turning on the English subtitles. Is there English sub and having the subtitles in English, and they don't match sometimes, but at least you get the full gist of it. Yeah, so that's what I ended up doing yesterday. But today I do want to talk about my camera. This is my love letter to my camera. I've been promising to log this for a while now, so I'm going to do it now. Okay. Let's go back 8-10 years ago. I ended up switching my career part-time as a photographer, because I ended up doing... I went back to school for photography and all that good stuff. So I was doing a lot of photography work for editorial and for events. That's what I do. I don't do portraits. I don't do weddings, anything like that. I do editorial work and events because they're practically hand in hand. so I'm just drinking coffee at the same time too. Yeah. So when I decided to go to photography as my part-time gig, and all that good stuff, and my goal was to be published. So I ended up getting published several times for some of my documentary work and all that good stuff. So I was doing all that. I did a documentary about my trip in India. I did a photo essay in 2017-18 to India. I was there for 3 weeks. I backpacked it. And it was great because some of my photos was actually featured in a photo expo in Toronto, and it was great. And I did that twice, so it was a great event. That was my first time doing an expo photographers in GTA. So I ended up putting my photos up, and it was been shown. So it's pretty cool. I ended up doing that for 2-3 years before I got my wrist injured. I injured my wrist so badly that I couldn't hold my camera at all. So I took a break. Around end of 2018. I took a break for a while because I couldn't hold my camera because of massive tendonitis. Anything that's heavier than my lens, it hurts because I was shooting a DSLR, so they're pretty heavy. And I took a break and I started transitioning into mirrorless camera at the same time too. So I did that, but the urge of taking photography is sort of going away. The feel of it, the anticipation of doing photography was going away. I was even trying to, I was even switching back to film, and it was just hard. It was just hard because I missed doing documentary work. I missed doing editorial work. I missed doing sports. I was just missing doing a lot of things. So I made a conscious effort to take a break and trying to figure out a way to get back into it without re-injuring my wrist. So, fast forward to late last year, around November, the end of November, I decided to go, hey, let's go back doing documentary work, but this time I'm going to do it my way instead of like what is considered documentary work as a norm, as a photographer. So I ended up scouring the internet, trying to figure out what I'm going to get and all that good stuff. So I decided to get a point-and-shoot camera. Yes, a point-and-shoot camera. It's a mirrorless point-and-shoot camera, of course. It's not a high-end Leica. It's not a high-end Fuji. It's not any of that. My goal was to have a camera that I can go back to basics on. Basics in a way that I can take it out of my pocket, take a photo, and put it back in. That was the goal. That was the goal of looking for something that that I can bring with me all the time. My everyday camera that I carry with me. Like, I like my camera. Taking photos with a phone is great and convenient, but you're lacking the feel of it, the overall personality of a camera, because each camera you buy or use has its own different personality, right? So after doing my research, after reading a lot of things, I ending up getting a camera that you never heard of. Again, it's not a Sony, it's not a Panasonic, it's not a Nikon or a Canon, it's a Ricoh/Pentax. Ricoh/Pentax, the reason why I'm saying Pentax, because those two company merged and stuff like that. So Ricoh, back in the 70s and 80s, is considered one of the best cameras out there. They still are one of the best cameras out there. The reason why I choose the Ricoh, it's the Ricoh GR. GR3. It's the Ricoh GR3, the original, right? That's why I ended up getting. And the reason why I ended up choosing that camera, because of one thing. It brings me back to the basics. It's a fixed focal length of a 28 mil equivalent to 35. It doesn't have a zoom. It does autofocusing. It takes rubbish video. Like, the video is awful. It does 4K, but it's so bad that no one uses it. People actually disable the video portion of the camera. It has video. It has film sim. If you're shooting JPEG, that's like beautiful. The grain. If you're shooting very high ISO, and the grain, if especially very high ISO, because if you're shooting digital, even in film and digital, every time you're shooting high ISO, you see sort of like dots, right? That's grain. Some cameras do use that in their advantage, like Fuji. Fuji has amazing grain. It looks very real. But the GR3's grain feels like it's film. It has its own personality to it. And since I bought that camera in November, I've been shooting constantly. I have it in my bag. I have it in my man purse, my sling bag. I have it with me with two other batteries, ready to go to take a photo. I took it everywhere with me. I even took it with me when my mom was in the hospital taking documentary photos of my mom and what's around me. And I will never publish that because it's very personal, but it's one of those cameras that brings me back to when I was a kid, of like, here's a roll of film, go crazy. I only have 35 shots. But you have to learn how to use the camera. You have to learn how to use it in the manual mode. You have to know how to adjust your ISO, how to adjust your shutter speed, your aperture. It's like it brings you back to the good old times of photography, right? And if you're a street photographer, like what I do now, especially documentary work, it does not intimidate your subject, right? And for me, that's a very big thing, because if you take your big DSLR or even your mirrorless camera with massive zoom in it, people will think, what are you doing? If you take your photo, your camera, or your phone and take a photo, no one cares. No one cares, because it's such a part of normal day-to-day society that no one cares, right? But having a point-and-shoot camera, they think you're just a hipster or a yuppie taking a photo of a camera that no one uses all the time, right? So that's what it is. And And yeah, so that's what I ended up using. That's what I'm still using. I actually removed batteries out from my bigger cameras. And that's what I use all the time now, my GR3, my Ricoh GR3. But here's the thing, though. The Ricoh GR3 original, it's so hard to find now that there's a waiting list. When I bought my camera in October, I bought my November. I got my November. The place that I go to for all my camera needs and all that stuff, where I got all my camera, I called them in advance before I went downtown and I asked them, hey, do you have the Ricoh GR3 original? It's like, yes, we do. How many do you have? Oh, we only have two left. Two left. Oh, okay, cool. Can I reserve one for pickup tomorrow, like the next day? And you know what the guy says? Like, we can't keep the camera on hold for 24 hours. You have to come here right away if you're going to buy it. I was like, okay, fine. How many do you have? Can we confirm it's two? Okay, fine. I'll be there first thing tomorrow morning. So I went there the next day. When I got there, I went straight to the back. Like, hey, I'm looking for the GR3 original. Do you guys have one? It's like, let me check. And they're like, while the guy was checking, yeah, there's a guy right now looking, has a demo looking at it right now. And let me get it for you. So he went downstairs and grabbed one, got up, and it's like, okay, I only have one left. The guy in front of you that's being helped just bought one, and this is the last one we have. We have the special edition ones, the urban edition, the street edition, all that stuff. I don't want any of that because they're slightly different colored. I want a full black one. And the guy said, okay, if you're going to get this, get it now, because there's apparently two more guys here waiting for you to make a decision if I'm going to get one or get it or not. So I'm like, okay, fine, let's go get it. And I found out that store, if they ran out, they practically ran out in Canada. There's only a handful in Canada that actually carries them. Like, physically carrying them in the store. But if you pre-order them, you can order them, they can ship it to you, but there is a waiting list for it. So, I ended up getting one, and since I bought it, again, like I mentioned, it was just my go-to camera now. I don't take out my phone to take photos, I take that one out. It's just one of those things that sometimes you just need to go back to basics. And having my GR3 with me all the time is bringing me back that basic raw feeling of taking photos without any judgment of anybody around me. It's one of those cameras that when people see it, no one takes you seriously because they think it's just a thing. It's just a toy. And me getting a point-and-shoot camera, I don't have to worry about lenses. I don't have to worry about flashes. I don't have to worry about any of that. I can travel. I can take the subway. I can take the streetcar. I can take the bus. And I know I have a camera with me that takes way better photos than my iPhone 15 Pro Max, and it has the personality that if you shoot in the higher end cameras like the Sony's, the Nikon's, or the Canon's, you ending up putting it back in like grain noise. People have a tendency to put noises and grains back in your photos because they want to capture that film sim. And having a camera that was designed 8 years ago to do that and does it really well, it just gives that gives that feel of like, I don't have to retouch my photos. I shoot JPEG. I don't shoot RAW. If I shoot RAW, I have a film sim that I can use that I put into Lightroom to give me back that film sim, right? And that camera for me literally saved my photography. I don't want to say save my life or my save my photography career, but it saved me or reintroduced me back to photography. And every time I take it out, I smile. Every time I take out, I'm proud to take that out and take photos. And people think it's like an old camera that just it's worthless, but when they see the image, it's great. And if you shoot a GR3, doesn't matter what country or city you are at, there's a massive community that people shoot this camera. And they're very proud of shooting this camera. And I'm glad and I'm very happy and part of that community. And it brings back joy in photography again.